Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yo, welcome in on a Friday. Make that a funky flashback Friday. Yes, sir. Rob Parker and Ephraim Salaam in for Chris Broussard. And yes, we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
We will do it live, Bill O'Reilly. And so much to do, so little time on this funky flashback Friday. Kerry Rhodes, the former All-Pro safety, will join us in the first hour. Can't wait to talk to him. He's got some insight on what we saw with Lamar Jackson last night. The debacle it was. Second hour, Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports Radio, in Fox NFL Insider. And, of course, in the final hour, Lamar Mitchell, of course, from the MGM Grand. And we'll get the pigskin pickoff. The last time Ephraim was here, he was 5-0. You know, just because you play in the NFL don't mean you know football. What I'm saying?
All I want to know is, what were you that week?
2-3. I was struggling. That's it.
So between you and I'm winning, right?
You are winning. What's up, Ephraim?
What's
How
happening,
you doing?
Man? Hey, man, I'm blessed, brother. I can't even complain.
Always great to have you in, and we appreciate your filling in for Chris. And yes, we've been in touch with Chris, and prayers continue to go out for him and his family.
Absolutely.
Yes, and he's expected back on Monday. So, you know, things are moving forward. So that's it, man. We keep the prayers going, right, Ephraim? And
yes,
keep the show
absolutely.
Going.
Absolutely.
And Chris will be excited to be back next week. All right, let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew, because we wouldn't be able to do this fine radio program without them. How about just our ace producer, Rob G? Is that better, Rob G?
Much better. I appreciate it.
All right, so I'm not even mentioning what I was calling you. I'm just going to say our ace producer, Rob G. Alex, of course, the engineer, as always, and it's a Friday. That means Steve DeSager is at the anchor desk and will keep us updated throughout the program. And Ephraim, it's great that you're here for this, because let's just kick it right off. John Gruden, you know, had that 10-year ridiculous $100 million contract for a coach, and it was ridiculous. You know, he just had the right guy who fell in love with him, Mark Davis. And paying a coach that kind of money was ridiculous. But anyway, he lost the gig and lost the money. So now he has a lawsuit against the NFL. And he is suing the NFL and Goodell for leaking the emails that, of course, he wrote while at ESPN. Ephraim, somehow he sent the emails through his company email to the Washington football team. Not the brightest thing in the world, right? If you're writing disparaging stuff about people. And now he feels like he was forced to resign and he wants damages, and the NFL made him out to be a scapegoat and all that other stuff. And he wants money and he was wronged. Hello? Is this on? John, how about if you didn't write the damn emails? How about that? I get what you're trying to do. Ephraim, what he's trying to do is scare the NFL into making a settlement so that they won't release all the other information. We want discovery. We want to go through the emails and point out what other people said. Right?
Yes.
So what they do is, you know, threaten the NFL with a lawsuit so that they'll settle and give him a parachute and give him money. How dare you? How about apologizing for the crap you said about women and gay people and black people and everybody else you trashed along the way? What about that? How about the NFL not leaking anything if you didn't say it? And then people go, well, you know, there's other stuff in there from other people, and they just wanted to get John Gruden. So do you know that for a fact? Does anybody know? You know what happens during journalism? is that somebody, Ephraim, has to read through all these emails just looking for a nugget. That's what happens.
Yep.
And they just so happen to find the John Gruden nugget. Hey, Adam Schefter's caught up in it as well. They found a nugget from Adam Schefter. You think that there are other juicy nuggets that aren't being released? Come on, man. Stop.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't think
650,000 emails?
I don't. And I'm going to tell you why, Ephraim. Okay. It's a work email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well,
so
we've seen that, and conventional wisdom would tell you that people know better than to send disparaging things through work emails. But also history would tell us that plenty of people have been fired for that reason exactly. Right? Like, it may seem like a no-brainer not to do that, but there are a lot of people out there with no brains who do things like that all the time.
No, there's no doubt. And then they say, well, what about Bruce Allen? What was his Bruce Allen's not in the league anymore. It's somebody who's currently working who that's why John Gruden's name is even important. It's because he's a head coach and a coach of men and had these things to say about certain people. So it does put him in a different light and a different. You're going to go after Bruce Allen, who's not in the league? What are you going to go after? He's not working. So my point is that people who think, and I'm not saying that all 650 were gone through, okay? Because what happens is if you find a nugget with John Gruden, those might be the ones you start looking through.
Yeah, you're right. And look, we may not want to take this lawsuit serious because we are in agreement that, first of all, you shouldn't have been speaking like that, right? Like, just
right. Shame on you.
Shame on you, especially. Well, I mean, you just got to have common sense. Obviously, he doesn't have that. We get that part of it. But from a legal standpoint, he does have a leg to stand on because those—
What's his leg? Tell me what his leg is.
Well, those emails were leaked to the public.
But all the time. It's called investigative journalism.
But wait one second. None of the other emails were leaked.
So, yeah, but you don't know if there's anything in those.
Yeah,
my
but it
point
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the standpoint he's coming from. And I'm not trying to make excuses for his actions or what happened to him. Let me get that clear.
Okay.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm with you on that. He should have been fired. Right? Shame on him for what he did. But legally, if you're building a case and you're the only one out of 650,000 emails that people got a chance to look at publicly, then you do have a leg to stand on. There's something wrong there. You get what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying, but unless you can prove, and all I'm saying is you might go through all those emails and not find anything else of that degree. I'm not saying that there aren't some things that are in there, but of a fireable offense, you might be surprised to think to figure out that there's nothing else in there because most of the people aren't of that ilk, aren't of that level to be able to. Now, all I'm saying is I get what he's trying to do. He's trying to recoup some of the money he lost. I get that. And legally, he could file a lawsuit. I hope the NFL fights him and not settle with this guy and not let him get any money for the things that he did that was wrong. You could talk about the process. Where's John Gruden groveling about what he did, and I'm talking about, and what he said, and how he feels, you know, how he feels today that he's trying to recoup money over really answering the question and making public statements or talking to people or trying to do right by people and explaining why he had so much venom and vile against people who didn't look like him or act like him.
Yeah, I don't agree with him. I think he should have been disciplined in the way he was. Just reading the complaint from the lawyer and it's 21 pages, so they just put little snippets out there. It just hints on the fact that why wasn't he fired? They had these emails. They read the emails. They knew about the emails, and nothing happened until they were released to the public. right? Like, so when you're building the case as a lawyer, all of those things matter. Like, okay, all of a sudden this comes out. You had the emails. You knew about the emails prior to the article, prior to the reporter getting a hold of the emails. Number one, how did the reporter get the emails? Number two, why are my emails the only one in the article? Number three, why now after the emails was I being forced to be fired? Like, all of those things you can take to court. Now, will the NFL play this out and be forced if a judge rules that all of the emails should be made public? Absolutely, you already know that's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen.
Unless the government gets involved.
Right.
They've asked to see the emails as well.
Exactly.
That, so there might, the NFL might not have a choice. But that, all I'm saying is, it might not mean that it's as juicy from everybody else's.
It may not, but it doesn't have to be juicy. It could be a little thing, right? It could be one little comment, right? It doesn't have to be as salacious as it was with John Gruden. But some of those emails people don't want out at all. And so if they're forced to turn those over, then this is going to get to be a bigger story.
It's not
going to
undo what
he
did.
It will not.
And that's the part that I think people need to understand. It's not going to undo it. It's just like Donald Sterling. Once you heard the tape for yourself, could you put the tape? It was over.
Now, if the NBA had released that tape, then it would have been something else. But it was a disgruntled girlfriend or a mistress or whatever she was.
And she could have said the same exact thing, and nothing would have happened to Donald Sterling, right? Oh, she's a jilted side piece, mm-hmm. and she's making stuff up, right?
Yep.
But once you hear his voice,
once you hear what he was saying, it's like, oh, brother, we got a situation, we got a problem.
Dude, he was done with that team in a couple days. You remember? I mean, like, it was lickety split. They were trying to get the playoffs going.
Yeah, it was. The players were like, if he's not going by this date, then we're not playing. And I think that was the first time we realized just how much power collectively NBA players have. And I'm not talking about individual like a Michael Jordan or
this was the league.
We're talking about a collective group saying we're not going to play, period. And the owners got together. Because you got to remember, in that, the owners refused to vote for him to sell the team at the beginning of that. They didn't want to do that. And when the players came out and said, hey, nah, we're not going to have this, then that showed where the power dynamic was. And
right.
In the NBA,
they were in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They would have lost millions of dollars.
Yep. That's exactly right. And, you know, just to put a bow on the Gruden thing, look, what he said was terrible. Right? His sentiment, his behavior, his train of thought, the way he spoke about people, the things he said, nobody wants to hang around that dude, right? Like, that's not a friend of mine. It's not a friend of yours. It's not a friend of America.
Right.
But when it comes to legally how things happen to people like that, that's where they find ways to, all he wants to do is get another check, a big check.
No,
right?
There's no doubt about it.
Was he missing out on, what, $60 million?
Yeah, he's trying to recoup that.
He's going to
go after the NFL that has money, but they also have lawyers who are on retainer who they pay anyway, right? Every year.
And you know the NFL don't like their business in the street.
Exactly. So just like they settled with Colin Kaepernick, right?
Yeah, well, they don't like this is something that the NFL does. They will do all the arbitration in the courts and all of that, and then next thing you know, it'll be like, the case settled with John Gruden.
I'd be shocked if they give John Gruden $60 million.
No. I don't think it'd be like that. I don't think it'd be like that. But if something happened to where those emails got out and they weren't supposed to, then we got an issue.
All right, here we go. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Do you have a problem with John Gruden trying to get his pound of flesh from the NFL on his way out of the door, or do you think it's slimy like I do? Take your medicine. You're the one who wrote those emails. Own up to it. We'll continue that conversation next. It's Ephraim Salaam in for Chris Broussard. Rob Parker here. You there. Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay.
Everyone across the U.S. of A.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Odd Couple on a Funky Flashback Friday here on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Ephraim Salaam, in for Chris Broussard. And we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our telephone number, 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. And we're talking about John Gruden and his lawsuit against the NFL. He's trying to recoup that $60 million loss from that ridiculous contract he got in the first place. Does he have a leg to stand on? Is it slimy that he's trying to get money? It would be one thing if he didn't say it or he was making a claim that those emails didn't come from him, you know? Then I would maybe be more into the lawsuit. But just basically saying, why me? Wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. Everybody's speeding on the highway. Woo, woo. Why did they pick me out? Why did the cop pick me out? There were 8 cars ahead of me driving as fast. Sorry about that.
That's all right, man. We know you like to get on a little tangent.
You know it's how fine. I am.
But let's see what the people think. Let's go to Tim in Atlanta. You on the Odd Couple. What you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing this evening?
Good.
Doing good, Tim. What up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Rob? You hit my point, man. I have 2 quick points. My first point is that the privilege of this guy who sent out emails criticizing Kaepernick and said that Kaepernick was shaking down the NFL for money. And I look at his privilege of doing the same thing. Yep. You know what I mean?
Ain't that mind-boggling? It's mind-boggling.
And then the second point is like, you know, I agree with what you said. If he didn't say it, I mean, it wasn't slightable, you know, slander or libel. I mean, he's not denying. Is he going to get in court and say, well, I didn't say it? I mean, those are your emails. So what leg do you really have to stand on? I mean, I don't see. I think the NFL
I'm not convinced he's
going to
get paid. Yeah, I'm not convinced.
The only thing I was saying was in terms of how the information was disseminated. You know what I mean? Like that, if something happened there, where if it was, broken protocol or things got out that weren't supposed to get out, then in terms of the law, that's where he has a leg to stand on.
But things get leaked all the time.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it that doesn't make it legally right.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that. You would have to have a paper trail of. And thanks for the call, Tim. Appreciate
absolutely.
It. Ephraim, is what I'm saying, like Goodell instructed the people in the press office to leak this to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but not even that, Rob. I'm serious. Like, if you have sensitive information and you're the one responsible for it and it gets out, although you had nothing to do with it, who are they going to point the finger at?
Yeah, but
If your housekeeper came and saw the information and then leaked it out, who's responsible for that?
I don't know if you can find out who leaked it, but I don't know if you can find out anything.
I'm telling you
that those are some of the greatest journalism ever done in this country and this world are anonymous sources and stuff that are leaked out. You know that. That's the nature. Deep throat was Richard Nixon, right? That's how Richard Nixon went. His presidency went down the tubes because somebody was giving him information and leaking information that was going on in the White House.
Well, let's talk to Sean in our state capital in Sacramento. You on the Odd Couple? What you got?
My uncle from another mother, my brother behind the boards. Hey, yo, Florin High School's finest, Mr. Ephraim Salaam. What up, baby?
What's happening, man?
Man, South Sac native myself, bro. You're probably the best one to ever come up out of here outside of Ontario Smith, but that's a whole nother story, bro.
I'm going up to Sacramento next weekend, Ephraim.
Okay, all right.
And I'll be up there in your town.
All right,
I'm going to take him to Center Falls, big homie.
Okay, like, there you go.
We're going to see what Rob could do up there.
There you go.
That's all right. I got a pocket full of money, too, singles. They're going to say, are those singles
college,
or are you happy
baby.
To see me? You know what I'm saying? All right, here
there
we
you go. Let's get these girls through college. But my take real quick, man, is look, Rob, I know you're comparing it to like a speeding ticket on the freeway. I'm going to put it like this, man. When they do shakedowns in prisons, they don't go after one person, man. They shake down the entire block. I get what Gruden is saying, man. If it's all of a sudden a rule that coaches can't have any kind of personal emails going through the company email, or they can't say any kind of blasphemous things against people of different races or people of different genders or sexual orientations, they need to do that mess across the board. You can't target somebody because you want them out the league. This should go
they,
for
they
every
didn't target
coach.
Him. They did not, not Sean. They didn't target him. This was an investigation of the Washington football team, and he got caught up in it. It's just like Barry Bonds, okay, Ephraim. They weren't going after Barry Bonds. They were going after Balco. Right?
Yep.
And they went through the files, and guess whose name was in it? Barry Bonds was in the Balco file.
It was
files.
Other people's names in there, too, and those names
yes.
came out.
But I'm
this
just,
is what John is saying. Like, I know I'm not the only one.
Well, he's saying that, but there's no proof of that yet, is my point.
Well, if he's trying to say either pay me or release the records, but release the emails, you know, the proof is in the pudding, then that's the leg he's trying to stand
that,
on.
But that, if they release the emails, it doesn't mean that he's going to be exonerated or get his money back.
No,
he's
he
still
just
want to
take other people down. He's just snitching.
Right, that's what he's doing. I'm glad that's what you're
he's
right.
He's snitching. That's what he's
he
doing.
He wants other people to go down with him.
All right, let's get one more. Let's get Tim in Ontario, California. You on the Odd Couple. What you got?
Hey, man. Odd Couple, Rob, Ephraim. Listen,
what's
man,
up?
You hit it, right? What's up, guys? I know I only got a little bit of time. You hit it right on the nail. I was going to say, this is entertainment. This is not about morals. He knows there's other stuff possibly in those emails. He's trying to bring others down with them. And it's a double-edged sword. Okay, you don't want to pay me? The government's taking notice. Release the emails then. Let's see the dirt. Because I know I'm not the only dirty one.
Right.
So
no, you're
me,
right. That he is.
It's smart. And I don't agree with what he said. But at the same point, I know this is interesting. I want to know what's in those emails. You want to know what's in those emails too, Rob. Like, hey, there's nothing to see, but why did you have stuff pointed directly at me then, but nothing else in the 640,000
650,000, I get it. There's a
yeah,
lot of emails, but most are work and mundane. Trust me, there's not a lot of stuff in every single email. Most of them are, hey, we need to do this, or can we have lunch? You know what I mean, Ephraim.
It's a lot of that, but it's a right. few of them, you know, that could be on the disparaging side. And he's just saying, if it's good for me, it's good for everybody else. I don't want to be the only one at home. I want some company.
That's what he wants. All right. What the heck happened to Lamar Jackson last night? I made on this big thing about he was my MVP. And he came up small last night. What a terrible loss. But former All-Pro safety Kerry Rhodes, he has the answer next to what happened. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Thank you so much. It is The Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio on a Funky Flashback Friday. Rob Parker and Ephraim Salaam in for Chris Broussard. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. One of our favorite people now jumps in here on The Odd Couple. Kerry Rhodes, the former All-Pro safety who played for, of course, the New York Jetropolitans and the Arizona Cardinals. Kerry, welcome to the program, my man. How are you?
Rob, it's going well, man. How you guys doing?
Good, brother.
Doing great. Man, what? I'm gonna get to you because I saw your tweets last night after that debacle that cost me shekels. But I didn't know what that was. I was watching. What happened last night? I know that John Harbaugh said he was outcoached and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Where'd that come from? What was that?
That's what it was. You saw my tweet. I literally said that. I mean, that's just. I'm glad that Harbaugh took that bullet because that's what it is. I mean, you can have it can be Lamar Jackson or it can be Tom Brady, right? On a short week, if a coach comes with a great game plan and they're not ready and don't have sight adjustments for certain things that the other team is going to do, I mean, you're just going to keep doing the things that you do. And sometimes the other team is just a little bit better that day. And that's really what it boiled down to. I mean, Lamar didn't have any answers to that test yesterday. So it looked the way it looked.
You know, the Ravens are predominantly a running team with splashes of great passes down the field. And Miami literally stepped up, hit him in the mouth. It got hot out there. The Ravens were coming off an overtime victory Sunday.
Big time. They were tired.
Yep. You can tell in the second half. How do they fix this going forward in terms of the Ravens are usually a more physical team. Miami stepped up and punched him in the mouth. What do they need to do to get back to those?
This isn't your everyday Ravens either. So a lot of people get that mixed up as well because of the lure that comes with the Ravens. They're tough, they're physical, they're, you know, all those things, and they usually are. But right now, this isn't the same team. They're thin, they're injured, they're hurt. I mean, they're really Lamar Jackson away from being a really bad team. So, I mean, they're not the same team. So, again, if you're coming to a game with that already, with that being the truth, and then you get out coached, it's going to look the way it looked. And they're not that good yet. And so, I mean, until they get healthy and all the things they need to get fixed moving forward, they're going to be an okay team.
Kerry, let's switch over to the Kansas City Chiefs are playing at the Raiders this Sunday. And Kansas City, there was no Aaron Rodgers. They barely won that game at home. Patrick Mahomes had like 166 yards. If Crosby didn't miss a field goal and have another one blocked, they might even won that game in Kansas City. They barely beat the Giants. What is going on there? Because Patrick Mahomes doesn't look like the guy that we saw the first 2 years he was a starter in the NFL. He's gone south, and something – can they fix this?
Rob, to be honest, I don't know about this year. This year may be a lost cause, and I'm not saying that's the truth, but it may be. I mean, teams aren't going to just keep letting guys do what they do best, right? Like, they're going to make adjustments. They're going to figure out ways to, you know, either slow them down or take them out of the main things they want to do. And I think the league has kind of figured that out. They know that Kansas City is a big splash team, a splash play team. And so once they make a couple of those big plays in the game, it just kind of – the avalanche goes really fast in their favor, right? But, I mean, now teams are slowing them down, making them have to outthink them now and actually outpacing them. And Mahomes can't do that right now. He's a guy that wants to make the big play. And he's just got to retool and rethink his game a little bit.
Yeah, if you make them drive down the field 15, 18 plays, they get restless. That's when they try to force – Mahomes tries to force things, and that's why the turnovers and interceptions are up higher. But I want to go to the Los Angeles Rams and the acquisition of OBJ. How does he fit into that receiver room with so many dynamic receivers? And how does this fare for him playing with probably the best quarterback he's played with in his career?
Man, it's a very tricky thing. That's a good question. It's very tricky because it's all going to depend on him, right? I mean, the Rams are who they are. They're explosive. They have a lot of weapons. They have a genius guy over there calling the plays, right? So it's going to put those guys in positions to be successful. But if he's okay with being the third option, because that's really what he's going to have to be in this situation, which means – that doesn't mean he's going to get third option targets. That means he's the third guy. So the mentality of that is – a lot of times, you know, which you know, Ethan. So Cooper's going to get pretty much the number one corner,
and you're everything runs through him, right?
As it should,
right?
And it's going to be that way, right? So he's going to get the third defensive back on him covering him, right? So he's going to win. He's going to be open a lot. And with him being okay with just going into the room knowing I'm that third option and not thinking he's the number one guy, things will go smooth because they spread it out anyway. They like to get everybody's touches, even though Cooper leads them in receptions and he's the go-to guy. But all that, it revolves around that system. And he's going to be fine if he takes that approach. He's the third guy, not the first guy here, you know? So it's going to be depending on him.
Our guest is Kerry Rose, the former all-pro safety. Kerry, last thing for me. The 49ers are playing the Rams this week, and they've lost like eight straight at home. 11 of 12, like ridiculous. Kyle Shanahan, I think if his last name was anything else other than Shanahan, probably would have been fired already. I mean, what is going on there? It seems like it's a dumpster fire in San Francisco.
Oh, man, it's been hard for those guys, man. I mean, they've been dealing with so many injuries, man. And I know that's the easy way out because like, everybody deals with injuries. But, I mean, it seems like they can't catch a break there. And then once that happens, when you don't have your top guns going into in the season, when the fire hits, man, it's hard, man. And then you don't have a real number one quarterback either with Garoppolo. Garoppolo plays well sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. And then you got Trey Lance that's waiting in the shadows, looming, waiting to get his turn. And so it's kind of that murky situation for those guys. And again, you're right. If Shanahan wasn't Shanahan, he probably would be out of there. But he's got good relationships, so he'll get a chance to fix it. I hope they do, because I was a big 49er fan as a kid, so I hope they turn it around.
All right. Man, we appreciate it, Kerry. Thanks for the insight, Kerry Rhodes.
Appreciate you,
Kerry. You can follow him on Twitter, no doubt about it. Yep. Stay well, buddy.
You too.
All right. Call your bookies. Ephraim, get your phone out. Hit your bookie up. We're heading to Shekel City next. It's the Odd Couple. Ephraim Salaam in for Chris Broussard. Rob Parker here. You there. Stick and stay.
Everybody who wants to make a couple shekels in the U.S. of A.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is the Odd Couple on a funky flashback Friday, and Alex is doing his thing. Tom Crady, is that what we call him on these Fridays?
Because I digging. Never lose.
No doubt. Rob Parker and Ephraim Salaam, and the Odd Couple's coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios on a funky flashback Friday. And Ephraim, I mean, come on, man. He's digging. I like this. All right, Ephraim, you know, last week the pigskin pickoff, you were 5-0. Yeah, we know all of that. But I do picks every night, and it's time to go to Shekel City.
Welcome to Shekel City, the home base for Rob Parker's daily picks against the spread.
And I want you to know Shekel City is not yet sponsored by Caesar Sportsbook. But it will be, trust me. All right, rough night last night. I got the toughest game right, which was Indiana getting a road win. But I was 1-2, and that was Ephraim after a 3-0 night the night before and hitting 11 of 15 picks, which is pretty good against the spread, 11 out of 15. But tonight I need a bounce back Friday, so it's not looking good, but I picked the Knicks. I mean, the Hornets plus 2 against the Knicks in Charlotte. Hornets plus 2, they're down by 14 or so early. Still the first half. I took the Cavs minus 4.5 against the Pistons. They picked up their second win, the Pistons, but the Cavs are at home. I like them, only giving up 4.5. And the Nets continue to roll. I got the Nets minus 9 at the Pelicans. They are pretty bad. So there they are. Those are my three picks. Hopefully we can hit the hat trick. And remember, I'm not telling you who to bet on. I'm telling you who I bet on. There you go, Shekel City.
All right. I mean, you know, you might want to give out that the counseling phone number, too.
1-800-DON'T-BET, right? 1-800-DON'T-BET.
Leading people down the river,
no,
man.
I just said, I'm not telling you who to bet on. Just telling you who I bet on. That's it.
Okay. All right. I don't want to fight you.
No. So let's get to this little story here, too. You know, the big thing in sports is tanking, right? Where an organization or a team decides we don't want to win. Do you remember when the Jets and the Jaguars were going for the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
Lawrence, and then the Jets won that game. And the Jets blew it. You just said it. They won, right? They blew it.
That was a dumb. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, they lost all those games
they have
all
Zach
year.
Wilson.
No. And then, right. And my God, did they blow it. But I guess Scott Boras, you know, the super agent in Major League Baseball, he came out just saying it's bad. He kind of was talking about it in baseball because you see the Miami Marlins are doing that right now. They're the next one, right? The Astros
they've
did it.
They've been doing that forever.
Yeah, and it's crazy is that they won two championships, but every they win and then gut out their team. They don't want to pay anybody. Mm-hmm. They trade the best players. They traded away Stanton. Yelich they traded away. I could go on. Those guys were all Marlins, you know, and they get rid of them. So you were talking about the Jets and what they did, called it dumb. But is tanking, does Scott Boras have a point? And shouldn't teams not tank, try to put together competitive teams? I think it's unfair to fans to tank.
And look, as a professional, former professional athlete, it's imperative to try to win. It's built into our DNA as players. Right, you always want to go out and put your best foot forward and try to win. Things don't always work that way, whether it be injuries, you just don't have enough talent, so on and so forth. So coming down the stretch, tanking has been, it's not just a baseball thing, it's a basketball thing, it's a football thing, it's an everything thing. The NBA is trying to rectify that because, you know, with the play-in games now, right? So they're trying to have teams who don't have desirable records coming down the stretch still have something to fight for. Now, with baseball, it's a little different because, you know, you can get to a point in the season and you're like, okay, this is not going our way.
Right. This is what Boras is saying, right. Like you get to August 1st, you're under 500, you're not going to be in the race, and then you unload players, right?
Well, what I would say to that is, the caution to that is, look at what the St. Louis, the position they were in. We all, it was over.
It looked like it was over for them, right?
And then they ran off 17 in a row, find themselves in the wild card spot, right? So, you know, the adverse sentiment to tanking is if you can just get it together, have your guys buy in, anything is possible. It's hard. It's not the easy way. I don't think professional sports should be easy. I don't think it should be a way to take an easy way. In that situation with St. Louis this past season, I mean, they really put themselves in position to make a run, and they almost had the Dodgers in that game. It took a miraculous play by the Dodgers.
It was a walk-off home run.
So, you know, some say tank and others say, look, let's put this together, the team, let's believe in ourselves and let's make a run at it. I would prefer that way opposed to always trying to, you know, hit the emergency escape button.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's got to be some sort of happy medium. His other part, Boras's point, was that's how the Braves were able to win. Other teams decided they're going to dump payroll, you know, and get higher in the draft, like just give up on the season, give away good players so that they're not going to win anymore and basically fall out of the race. And then when you have the draft order, right, you're going to be in a better position to get players. So there's like a happy medium. Everybody can't win, so I do understand when some teams, Ephraim gives up, right?
Yeah.
You're 25 games out. In August. What are you doing? You're not going to go add players, right?
Right.
Come on. I mean, I think fans understand that.
And to the fan aspect of it, yeah, it may seem painful when it's happening, but when you see the benefits like the Marlins have done a couple times,
right?
When you see the benefits down the line, and most fans can't see past the actual current year they're in, when you see the benefit of that, then you're like, oh, okay. So now they're happy again. So organizations, they know it's ebbs and flows with the fans.
No doubt. All right, coming up next in the second hour of The Odd Couple, we're going to take apart Patrick Mahomes. We're going to talk about, there was an article written about him. Is he still a tier one quarterback? Love to hear from Ephraim on this. It is The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Stick and stay for the Patrick Mahomes talks. That is next.
George
coming up.
Ask.